New Mexico. And T.W. put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
This Friday, March 23rd, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I want to jump right into my letter to the young people and their supporters, a sort of call to common sense and reason. It's more than that. I suppose in spirit, initially, it bordered on reprisal, definitely rebuke, but hopefully my tone has softened since I started to write these thoughts last week. Initially, I thought that the kids, their parents, the faculty and staff and others that support them should all just be taken out to the woodshed. But I understand, and I'll talk a little bit about the fact that their thoughts, their ideas, their actions, their behavior, as you and I know, is not their own. So I think they get a measure of grace, as far as that's concerned, and hopefully we can raise some awareness in Jeffersonian fashion, inform their discretion, and all be the better for it. That's my hope. So I will, I'll give you that, my letter to them, and then we'll transition into the cultural Marxist piece. Cultural Marxism, social justice warriors, color revolution, all that kind of stuff, so that those things are covered on today's broadcast, and hopefully together we can cover a lot of ground with that information. So beginning, as it were, I suppose, as I said, initially I started with a particular mindset. This I will call, I will title A Call to Wisdom and Prudence, A Letter to the Parkland Students, March for Our Lives, Young People and Supporters, I suppose. I started out in a spirit of sort of hostility, I suppose, you know, to these young people and their parents and supporters. I would say, what makes you uniquely qualified to weigh in on the nature of the problem, so-called, and diagnose, shout for a solution? If you were wrong in your assessment and misapplication, how would you know? What steps have you taken to ensure this is not the case? You have a group of folks around you, and because of herd think, you think that you must be right. A million Chinese can't be wrong. A billion, right? Have you sought a variety of counsel? Do you not consider it hasty and unwise, in other words, foolish, to overturn a long-established, well-founded precept without any real dialogue or deliberation on the matter? Jefferson, Adams, Washington, Madison, Hamilton, and on and on. What do you know about diplomacy and statesmanship, about governments and their form, their derivation, that they didn't? We'll get into some of the talking points, maybe only good guys should have guns, et cetera, in a minute, but let me back up and say, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in Discipleship, the Disciple and Unbelievers, back in 1937, when we judge other people, we confront them in a spirit of detachment, observing and reflecting, as it were, from the outside. But love has neither time nor opportunity for this. If we love, we can never observe the other person with detachment, for he is always and at every moment a living claim to our love and service. It is in this spirit I offer these words. So, to begin with, I think it's important to speak to the intrigue and deception that has been waged from Edward Bernays' Propaganda, 1928. He opened the book with these words: "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we've never heard of." It was this man who created the term public relations, out of which was born the field of study and career, public relations. He also said, "Newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions." Now, you young people and supporters are in the midst of a movement that has garnered a great deal of support from the likes of Michael Bloomberg and George Soros connected groups. A number of celebrities have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars personally, to the tune of millions of dollars. This is not some grassroots organic movement. This has a tremendous coordinated effort behind it. I think it's important to keep that in mind. And so with that, I say, I understand you're upset. but pause for a moment and think how much of your fear and outrage is genuine, how much of it was fomented, especially the talking points. Listen to the talking points. How much of that was fed to the young people? How much of your actions are fueled by narcissism, the big dopamine hits you're getting all day long, and the vogue of peer unison? Let me assure you, all of that, the lights and glitter, will soon fade, and your 15 minutes will be forgotten like all the rest, or at least until the next politically opportune moment, like the folks at Sandy Hook are used as political props anytime there's an opportunity. You're being played, used, spent like political capital, and when those big dopamine hits end and reality sets back in, the low will be greater than the high. What then? I suppose before I continue, I should say I could talk about the forces, returning to this briefly, I could talk about the forces that have conspired against you, but I won't. I could talk about the many ways and weapons that have been brought to bear, scientifically engineered, refined over decades, centuries even, designed to steal your life from you and turn you and your friends and family against one another in the most subtle, undetectable ways, but I won't. I could talk about Malthus and population control. I could talk about Galton and eugenics, but I won't. I could talk about the weaponization of technology, entertainment, movies, music, television, and social media in particular, but I won't. I could talk about the gradual shift in America, American society, from didactic thinking, right and wrong, to the dialectic conflict model and post-truth, colliding ideas together, whether right or wrong, to arrive at the most persuasive and convincing argument, but I won't. I could talk about the social engineers, Laban, Trotter, Lippmann, Wundt, Freud, Bernays, Wiener, and how they've labored tirelessly to regiment your every thought, behavior, and action from cradle to grave, but I won't. I could talk about Skinner's operant conditioning model, on which your so-called schooling is based, used to train and control you like a rat in a maze, but I won't. That's not the purpose of my remarks here, and Charlotte Iserby and John Taylor Gatto have done a tremendous job of exposing the aforementioned, so I'll simply provide you with the following harbinger as evidence of these control mechanisms in hopes you will make every effort to reach beyond them. From Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society, published in 1952, the social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. Fourth, that the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. It is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology will give governments much more control over individual mentality than they now have, even in totalitarian countries. Fitta laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. I won't try to provide a persuasive, convincing argument. I won't try to propagandize you or otherwise manipulate you. Instead, I'll provide some facts, some common sense, and historical reminders in hopes of your own volition, you'll investigate further, decide for yourself, and do the right thing. But again, on this note, how much of your own independent research have you done? How much have you even studied the issues of your time? From where are you getting all your information? Do you know that those sources to be credible and reliable, unwavering? Congress critters and mainstream media are notorious for polar shifts on issues, often at the expense of constituents and viewers, respectively, and others. How certain are you that your deeply partisan stance won't boomerang? You've never run for office, managed or assisted with a campaign. Most of you admittedly haven't ever even voted yet. And you have no experience seeing the cliche of bad government corrupting good morals. How cliche that is. You don't have that experience. And what do you know about protecting anything, honestly? You weren't commissioned as a midshipman at age 9 and leading naval deployments by age 12 like Admiral David Farragut at the War of 1812. You weren't running 2,500-acre plantations in your early teens like Thomas Jefferson or working 60 hours a week as a teenager and still finding time for writings like Poor Richard's Almanac, like Ben Franklin in his teens. You haven't embarked on the course of self-directed study of the expanse of recorded history, including governments and their form and derivations, like many of the founding fathers. You've never fought just to survive another brutally cold, harsh winter as they. You've never been to war or even battle. You've never been married or had children of your own and understood that now your life has come to its most beautiful and perfect end in service to God's most precious and miraculous gift to you on earth. You've never struggled to make ends meet or fought like heaven to hold your family together. You've never even had anything of your own, really, to protect. So honestly, what do you know about protecting or defending anything? Having never studied or experienced any of this, any of life's real challenges, who are you to challenge the weathered traditions of history? You haven't studied the real expanse of recorded history, strategy, Toynbee and Quigley, Machiavelli and Sun Tzu, for example, philosophy of law, Locke, Blackstone, Montesquieu, Bastiat, de Tocqueville, Spooner, and many others. You've never earnestly studied the radical forces behind the drastic changes since the uncivil war in this country. Forces that have for generations sought to enslave you all through the law merchant by combining these subjects and weaponizing them against you, against us all. A plot to which you all are entirely ignorant, but is no less real. And so, what makes you qualified uniquely to weigh in on this discussion? We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Continuing with my call to wisdom and prudence, a letter of the Parkland students march for our lives, young people and supporters. I would continue. I would say you don't understand liberty, freedom, individualism and collectivism, natural rights, property rights, free enterprise, taxation, inflation, what really is money, and the nature and distinction of coin, credit and circulation. You don't understand why these things are important. You just assume that everything is fine in society because you've been programmed to operate that way. Instead of understanding these important topics, you've been spoon-fed a steady diet of propaganda your entire life. You're a carbon copy of each of your peers, a scientifically engineered cybernetic herdthink product of this technocratic, autocratic, totalitarian regime. Think about it. This is why you try so desperately to express some sort of individuality. But again, think about it. When was the last time you had an honest to goodness original thought or idea of your own? What was it? At university, John Nash, so worried about being infected by the erroneous ideas of his contemporaries, he rarely attended class. And yet, as brilliant as he was, he still managed to fall victim to error. In what ways are you intellectually superior to John Nash? One of the biggest clues that the entire mainstream media monolith is entirely a put-up job at this point, and probably almost entirely subsidized by the Central Intelligence Agency and friends, is the victory of technocracy and the failure of mainstream media to adapt. What I mean is, think about it, when a division of Kodak went defunct and 30,000 employees were replaced by 50, why haven't we seen the same effects in mainstream media? We're seeing it throughout industry across this country, but certain businesses, not even industry, but certain businesses within certain industries seem to be insulated from that. How and why is that? Every other industry is affected, but not mainstream media. 20 years ago, Matt Drudge declared mainstream media is dead. What happened? What happened is the CIA keeps mainstream media in comatose stasis on life support to continue to propagandize us. As Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And like professional sports, as he observed, requires large audiences. Otherwise, it's just practice. It's not the same. McLuhan pointed that out. And so, too, the mainstream media conglomerate must portray its bigness, which in turn is erroneously conflated and misconstrued as legitimacy and veracity. But it's just information, really. It's propaganda in most cases. Then you have the old guard of alternative media, the Democracy Nows and the Young Turks, the revolutionaries, all quietly or not so quietly, as it were, funded by the same interests, which have created shiny new next generation alt media like Axios, The Intercept, and others. But as Jesus said, can Satan cast out Satan? That's, I suppose, a side note. That's for a 201 discussion. Again, do you kids understand the Skinnerian operant conditioning model on which your so-called schooling, also known as programming, is based? Do you further understand how, combined with similar systems in social media, video games, with similar systems in social media and video games and other programming, aka entertainment media, this literally rewires your brain architecture, creating the untenable dopamine addiction required to sustain your programmed narcissism, which leaves you constantly depressed, insatiably searching for the hit that likes will produce. This is an admitted fact, by the way. I said I wouldn't talk about this, but it's difficult not to. When you see folks like Chamath Palihapitiya and so many of the other folks, Sean Parker and Sandy Perikilis, so many others, admitting that they're messing with your mind. One has to consider that. One cannot ignore that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back. Again, continuing with my letter. So along those lines, do you kids understand this? Do you parents understand this? Do you understand that when Tristan Harris says that Facebook is a living, breathing crime scene, or Chamath Palihapitiya says that social media and Facebook in particular is tearing the fabric of society apart, or Sean Parker says that we're messing with your minds and we did it on purpose. We knew what we were doing and creating this infinite dopamine feedback loop to get you addicted. They know what they're doing. Do you know what the pervasive influence is? Have you listened to Zeynep Tufekci and understood how this has a pervasive influence on your mind and your thinking? Have you listened to these voices? Roger McNamee, Sandy Parakilas, Tristan Harris, Chamath Palihapitiya, Sean Parker, on and on the list goes. The folks who have worked at these places at the highest levels, or consulted or been a part of the development of these social media platforms today and other, you know, search, Google, those kinds of platforms. And they say these things, how these things are harmful to your thinking and what ways do they influence you. Do you understand, students, parents? But all of this is sort of a side note. I said I wouldn't talk about it. It's important, I think, to understand the control and the manipulation that's at work. But the issue here specifically is regarding firearms. So, again, the lesson of history going back to the founding era on firearms. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every country in Europe. A government resting on the minority is an aristocracy, not a republic, and could not be safe with a numerical and physical force against it without a standing army, an enslaved press, and a disarmed populace, said James Madison. So again, there's the issue of protecting and defending and against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There have been examples in this country, you know, domestic examples of repelling incursions. But if you're disarmed, how will you defend yourself, particularly against armed force with deadly intent? With love, as some students have suggested? If you cannot defend yourself, who will? Better yet, who has an obligation to defend you? Turns out that may be the most sobering answer of all, and the courts have held repeatedly that law enforcement does not have an obligation to protect you. More on that, though. James Madison said, Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the people of other countries whose leaders are afraid to trust them with arms. Are your leaders afraid to trust you with arms? Is there a reason the Nancy Pelosi's, the Bernie Sanders, the Chuck Schumer's, the Al Green's surround you, they flank you and rejoice as you willingly surrender your ability to defend yourself and the ability of others to defend you and themselves as well? Where are the Freedom Caucus folks? If this is such a great idea, why isn't there, if it's just common sense, why has it taken 250 years and why is there not unison? Some folks in that spirit might say, but times are different today, to which I would agree, but are the hearts of men different? Is the unquenchable spirit of ambition different? Is a corruptible and weaponized government against the people different? Or is this a unique place on earth where that just can't happen? With Sinclair Lewis in writing his book, it can't happen here. Have the hearts of men become so tranquil and angelic that we no longer have need of oversight? Indeed, the headlines in this discussion prove otherwise. Wasn't Jefferson wise then in advocating that we bind down with the chains of the Constitution, strictly, those whom we are obliged to trust with power in the strictest adherence to the Constitution, including the enumerated, God-given, inalienable right to keep and bear arms? Wasn't he also wise in reminding us, in times of question, to carry ourselves back to the time when it was adopted? He said, on every question of construction, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. Have we done that? Have we read the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers? Beyond that, If you care to consider the facts, you'd see you're infinitely more likely to die, young people, prematurely from suicide, traffic accidents, poisoning, including and especially, I would say, prescription medication these days. We have a crisis there. Where's the outrage? But I digress. Also from drowning and a host of health problems, including cancer, primarily caused or aggravated by vaccines and glyphosate. For more on that, see Dr. Stephanie Seneff's research, MIT senior research professor. She's no dummy. According to the CDC's National Vital Statistics reports, the leading causes of your death do not register this issue. So what of the leading causes? Where's the outrage? Not to mention all the deleterious effects of social media and technology. Again, I digress. So where is the outrage, particularly at the big government, big agriculture, and big pharma crime syndicate that has conspired to destroy your health and your life? By the way, many of the same folks that are applauding your efforts now. I understand it's not particularly it's not primarily your fault, and I don't blame you, young people, because how could you know any better? You trusted authorities to do right by you as they, too, trusted authorities to do right by them. But along the way, as previously mentioned, that trust was hijacked and weaponized against you. So as well-intentioned but naive as you are, before you allow yourselves to be led by the nose into a minefield or throw yourselves on the bayonets of wolves masquerading in sheep's clothing, heartily encouraging others to do likewise, don't you think it would be wise to at least step back in prudence and consider what you're doing? And perhaps more importantly, if this is such a grave issue of injustice as you're led to perceive, then why hasn't it long been remedied? Or is there perhaps something more going on here? Or am I just casting pearls before swine? I hope not. When I was in school, not so terribly long ago, driving to school with a gun and a fishing rod hanging in the back window of your pickup was normal. It was kind of abnormal not to do that. And B, there were never any school shootings at any of the at any grade level anywhere in the area. Nowadays, you can't even find the rack to hang your rod and rifle on. A little further back, schools, public schools like yours, taught gun safety. Students often brought their own rifles to school with them and stored them in their locker. So between then and now, what changed? Well, one of the biggest changes, as Pastor Granderson Wright puts it, and others, but he puts it very well, he puts it simply, God in, guns out. God out, guns in. When God was excused from the classroom, suddenly we started to see a number of problems, a host of problems developing. We also didn't have military-grade psychotropics, the same kind the military uses in super soldier, super killer programs. Those are some of the psychotropics that they're prescribing to you now, young people. Do you think it's a wonder that military-grade psychotropics that are used in super soldier and super killer programs occasionally have the same effect on you? And then, of course, there were the experiments the CIA conducted on some students at university that they didn't inform students about. But again, I digress. I don't want to get into that right now. Neither did we have the the glam violence culture of today, including first-person shooter video games. And again, the same kinds of military uses, because you know, of course, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, DARPA, the RAND Corporation, they've all worked with the video gaming industry to develop very similar games for military training and use. Games very similar to the games that you play. Could there be a correlation there? Could correlation equal causation in this case? So we could go on. If every gun went away, as is really kind of the push behind what's going on here, it's the push to disarm you, then what about the cultural epidemic? The cultural epidemic unaddressed would be, would we be more or less safe is the point. If all of the guns go away and we still have this cultural epidemic and you have no way to defend yourself from the psychopathy that is developing, that should change, this cultural epidemic, if it's left unaddressed, will we be more or less safe? In Hosea chapter 4, Hosea stated how destructive a force this violence fueled by ignorance is. In Hosea 4, Hosea points out the high cost of our ignorance. And he reminds us, as he puts it, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. I submit that if you are deeply introspective, you will see that this is the sort of culture we have in America today, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. This is actually the recipe for a successful movie plot or television series or novel series. And as Hosea further points out, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But what knowledge? How long can we persist in this insanity? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? How long can we live like hell in America and not get burned? Will taking every gun from every law-abiding gun owner with the right, the God-given, inalienable right to keep and bear arms, will that solve these problems? And again, you have no basis on which to level an argument. Young people, you've never repelled an invading force or expelled infiltrators, for that matter. So the logic is you want to take guns out of the hands of law-abiding criminals and leave law-abiding citizens unable to defend even you? Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't make any sense to me. The bottom line of these points is that you've been infected with a mind virus, and you could scarcely articulate what you believe, as I pointed out in the beginning of this letter. Here's the proof. Try to articulate your beliefs to someone you don't know. You can't. Why not? You've been programmed. As the Bertrand Russell quote that I mentioned points out, try to articulate your views on this issue without coaching. You can't. While we're at it, What about all those thousands of military-grade weapons, the real assault rifles, grenades, etc., that have been stashed all over the place in Gladio-styled gunrunner operations? You know, like those of the 2015 Paris shootings, now that we have another incident in France today, that traced from Iran-Contra to Paris and back to Century International Arms, the company owned by the Emily and Alicia Sucre family. Michael Sucre, you know, your classmates, Emily and Alicia Sucre, down there at Stoneman Douglas High School. Never mind, that's probably for a 201 discussion. I said I wouldn't do that. Also for the 201 class, the 2010 Harvard University Center on the Developing Child study, persistent fear and anxiety can affect young children's learning and development. Again, speaking of mind control, and in this case, trauma-based mind control, and other resources that conclusively prove that all of this fear-based trauma conditioning, one, irrevocably and adversely alters your brain architecture and chemistry. I.e. the live drills, which will now have a much more deleterious effect on your psyche. And will now be considered in your minds indistinguishable from real for most of these young people. And parents, I pray you vehemently object to this awful practice of these children being subjected to these drills. Also, the Holocaust classes, the 9/11 classes, and all of this, these are all part of this trauma-based mind control. And there's a reason they're constantly reminding you to never forget about things like 9/11. Many of you don't even remember in the first place. Why are they constantly reminding you never to forget? In other words, all of this gunk they put you through, it's bad for you. Can't you feel it when you stop for a second and pause? Can't you feel? It just doesn't feel right. It feels bad. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like it's contributing to anything good in your life. But maybe that too is all part of a 201 or a 301 class. But back to the subject of the arms, specifically, only the good guys should have guns, right? Tell that to Stephon Clark and the Spokane Valley pastor who was shot examining the parking lot outside or adjacent to his home and church, shot by law enforcement. Stephon Clark is a recent example. There are many others. Heaven forbid we discuss police abuse of power. See Radley Balco and others for more on that. But we'll table that for now, too. Even if we presume only good guys have guns, what about response time? The cliche is when seconds count, law enforcement is only minutes away. What about response time? And what about what happened at Stoneman Douglas High School? At least four Broward Sheriff's Office deputies were on scene, at least four, including school resource officer Scott Peterson. At least four BSO deputies were on scene and did not engage, which leads me to, as I said before, the courts have held repeatedly, sadly, law enforcement officers have no obligation to protect you. You could argue special cases like school resource officers are exceptions, you know, maybe by contract or whatever, but why chance it with your or your child's safety? Why? You know, again, that's circular reasoning, and I take you right back to the example here where four deputies on scene did not engage. And it was only when a different jurisdiction showed up, the Coral Springs officers. So that didn't happen for 11 minutes, from what I understand, and the shooting was all over in seven. Whatever happened was all over in seven. And beyond that, heaven forbid we talk about Kent State, Jackson State, Ruby Ridge, Waco, and other incidents. Heaven forbid we talk about COINTELPRO, Gladio, Northwoods, the strategy of tension, Trevor Aronson's proof the FBI creates terrorists, and more terror plots than all other groups combined. The Human Rights Study, the Project Salaam Study. Again, Malthus and Population Control, Galton and Eugenics, Democide, R.J. Rummel's book, Eliminationism, and the general efforts of those who would otherwise seek to leverage the overwhelming power of government to, quote, do away with certain people groups. And we see those forces at work here in America. What makes you think they aren't being or wouldn't be applied to you? Many of you folks see those sorts of efforts to do away with certain people groups in the Trump administration. What makes you think that weaponry can't be pointed at you? And while we might shy away from that discussion, thinking ourselves a more enlightened people, a generation above that sort of violence and inhumanity, I would remind those of the more than 1 million senseless deaths in the politically motivated ongoing occupation of Iraq. And 15 years later, with little to no outrage in the streets, people are still sending their loved ones in conscription to evil in military service. Also hurting our young people in a variety of other ways. The military suicide epidemic, for example. Folks coming back traumatized. George Bush, W. Bush, says that we shouldn't call it PTSD anymore. We shouldn't call it a disorder. Now it's just post-traumatic stress. It's just PTS. Why? Because if we call it a disorder, maybe we will figure out that what we're sending our sons and daughters, our loved ones off to, is not good. Many of them come back and tell us so. Some of them come back in boxes. Where is the outrage for that? Where is the Million Man March? Where are the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in support for ending the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan and many other places? Because many more lives are damaged or lost in that travesty. So where is the outrage? Even if we assume all guns are gone, there are a myriad of other ways to harm people, arguably easier, and even mass casualty, some of which we've seen in the headlines in recent months and years. Automobiles, knives, explosives, all kinds of things. And there are a number of other issues that I don't want to get off onto, the things that the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the Al Green's, the Bernie Sanders, the Hillary Clinton's, the Bill Clinton's, the Eric Holder's, the Barack Obama's, Dianne Feinstein, of course, Janet Reno, on back. What they've all said, Dianne Feinstein said, if we could have gotten the votes to take every gun from every hand in America, I would have done it. We couldn't get the votes. Janet Reno has expressed similar sentiments on registration. Bill and Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder says we need to propagandize people to think that guns are bad. Young people, have you been infected with that mind virus? Because of your youth and the scientific engineering of your so-called educational experience, you're incapable of seeing the trap laid set before you. What about society? Again, your youth does not afford you the benefit of experience, personal experience of history. But those old enough to remember will remind you of some things. We'll touch on that when we come back in conclusion to my letter to the young people of Parkland, Florida. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.